Bizarre Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies releasing this week.
And whatever movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And I'm Travis. And here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
We have a guest.
We sure do.
This definitely isn't the second time doing this.
No, of course not. No.
Hello, guest. What is your name?
I'm Hayden here.
Welcome on in. Welcome on in.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you for coming on. And so since this is your first time, you get to go first.
Oh, okay.
How has your past couple of weeks been going since we've been off the air for a couple of weeks here now?
Not too bad. Just busy working.
Yeah? Working and watch any good movies?
Just rewatching a bunch of the old classics, like 21 Jump Street with Jonah Hill. Rewatched a bunch of the Jurassic Parks, two of the three. I skipped two because it's unnecessary in my opinion, but...
Very nice, very nice.
That's it for me. Otherwise, it was a pretty low-key 2 weeks.
So as in, like, Jurassic Park 1 and then Lost World, or, like, Jurassic World and...
The first Jurassic Park and then the third one.
All right.
Of that first trilogy, because the Jurassic Worlds are also necessary, in my opinion.
Gotcha, okay.
Very irrelevant.
All right, that's fair.
So you're not going to go watch the new Jurassic World that's coming out?
No, for all I care, it could blow up in my face.
Even though it was written by the guy that wrote the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had the same storyline and same plot of all the other ones. They just managed to make Chris Pratt a starring actor in all of them, which ruined it for me. He's a good actor, just not in those movies.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we can agree with that.
Yeah. He's good, just not in those.
Yeah, most definitely. I can hear that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So, Travis.
Yes, sir.
How's your couple of weeks been going?
You know, it's been good. I've just been working, you know, the usual. Let's see. I did watch movies. Oh, gosh. I don't remember all of what I watched. So I have to re-look at my Letterboxd.
Oh, dear. Here we go through Travis's search history.
Well, anyways, I know I watch Ghostbusters, so I can talk about that for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
All right. So I did watch Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good addition to the series. But there's one thing that upset me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a character that I find super annoying. And it was not needed. And... I don't want to spoil anything, but something happens to where he gets something and it doesn't make any sense at all with the movie or even with Ghostbusters in general. That's my only gripe with it. Otherwise, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
How about you, John? How are your 2 weeks?
Busy. So basically, I had to go out of town on some work trips.
Mm-hmm.
So starting on Monday, 2 weeks ago from today, which is when we usually record, and so I couldn't record that week.
Mm-hmm.
From that Monday until this past Wednesday, a span of 10 days, I was at the Twin Cities Airport 6 different times.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez.
Feel bad for you.
And so it was very... travel heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the times my in-flight entertainment screen did not work.
Oh no.
Ooh. So I was very sad. But the times that it did, I did get to watch Temple of Doom.
Ooh, okay. Ooh.
And Shaun of the Dead.
Nice.
Very good movies.
Yes, I was very happy. And I'm pretty sure the people around me were kind of like, why is he laughing? But yeah. Definitely got a few chuckles of, got a little red on you.
Right.
But other than that, it's been kind of a hectic couple of weeks for me. I wasn't traveling last Monday, but I did have to be at the airport at, 6 a.m. the next morning.
Oh, jeez.
So I really did not want to try to record and then go do that the next day.
Understandable.
And then my flight was delayed an hour and a half while I was on the plane. So that was fun.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Because they scheduled a captain wrong. So we did not have a captain.
Oh, no. Well, you should have just flown the plane then.
Right?
Yeah.
They could have winged it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could have just, like, flapped your arms and then, man, my arms are tired.
I should have, because I went right from the airport to the place that, you know, we were doing all the work at. I should have gotten in there and been like, I just flew in, and man, my arms are tired. Yeah, I should have pulled out the old joke. I should have, but...
That would have been good.
It would have been.
I've been in a flight simulator. I know how to fly a plane.
There you go. Exactly. But yeah, other than that, it's been a couple of weeks. We missed a couple of things that we have to talk about, which I guess brings us right into the movie news. First of which is something that I'm sure one of us would be very mad if we skipped over, was the Oscars. So I know we really didn't talk about it leading up to the Oscars, but I know there was a few main movies that kind of took everything, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I had this up not too long ago. Let me pull it up one more time. And so it was mainly Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
Mainly Oppenheimer. Yeah, I know that one swept pretty much lot of it.
Oppenheimer took Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Supporting Actor.
Wow.
Yeah, that's four Oscars right then and there.
Wow. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure they had 13 nominations across the board.
I was very happy to see that Godzilla Minus One won an Oscar.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Did you see every single one of the people that were, or like the main people that were there for Godzilla Minus One, when they were walking the red carpet, they had little Godzilla action figures.
Awesome. I didn't notice that.
That's so cool.
And then every single one of them, their shoes were Godzilla themed as well.
Really?
Oh, cool. Okay.
That's interesting.
So they were very much Godzilla'd out.
Okay.
But yeah, I know we had quite a few things. Oppenheimer also won cinematography.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, nice.
With Hoyt Van Hoytma, there was a little bit of controversy with his acceptance speech, actually.
Really?
Well, the Oscars are always full of controversy at some point, so...
Oh, basically, he urged filmmakers to shoot with old-school film formats or celluloid in his Oscar speech. And so a lot of people basically took that as, don't shoot digital. If you're not shooting digital, you're not a real filmmaker kind of thing.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
And which, I mean, I kind of heard this, you know, the clip from it, and it didn't sound great, but, you know, basically there's the whole thing out there, you know, if you want to be a filmmaker, start making. Doesn't matter how you're making it, doesn't matter what you're making, just start making. And, you know, learn from your mistakes and you'll become a better filmmaker. You will be able to kind of, you know, make an impression for those that you need to, kind of thing.
Right. I can understand his complaint. That, yes, I know that digital has its special place within Hollywood, and they're going to continue to use it no matter what. But there is just something about people, or I shouldn't say people, but the directors using film when they're, like, filming a movie. Like, I know Quentin Tarantino, he used it for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Christopher Nolan, he used it for Oppenheimer.
He uses it for like all of his movies.
Yeah. Honestly, like there's just something about it. It looks, it's got that darker feel to it,
right?
And it's I don't know. There's just something about it that makes it look better.
Yeah, I mean like,
that just might be me though.
It definitely is personal preference, but at the same time, like there's so much stuff that you can get with film that takes digital, you know, yet so many different algorithms and everything to try to do, like with Knives Out, that was filmed digitally, but the director of photography or the cinematographer, I don't remember which one it was, actually went through and used like a bunch of different algorithms to make it look like it was shot on film. So like if you watch the names as they appear on screen or whatever, you know, they're kind of bouncing around a little bit, and that's because of Gateweave.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an algorithm that he made for being able to turn digital into film. You know, it's one of those things too where I'm kind of very passionate about this kind of thing. You know, like I said before, if you want to be a filmmaker, if you want to do anything like that, just doesn't matter how you do it, just start making. It's great having, you know, big name directors kind of championing keeping around film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of everybody just switching to digital.
Right.
But at the same time, it's kind of heartbreaking hearing them talk down to people that are not using film.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, that's kind of that little tangent of that.
And not the usual tangents we go on either.
Right, right. Yeah. And then, best original score for Oppenheimer as well. And film editing, I think you said film editing,
yep.
Right? Yep.
And the best animated went to The Boy and the Heron, right?
It did.
Yes, it did.
It did.
Okay. That means I'm going to have to go watch that one. I still need to watch a lot of...
It was pretty good. I liked it.
Was it? Okay. That's what I hear.
I mean, just like any other Ghibli film, it's not really like what you would expect from... I mean, even animation, you know, it's not the typical, you know, kind of American movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoyed something like Spirited Away, or if you enjoyed, which one am I thinking of? My Neighbor Totoro, you know, stuff like that, where it doesn't necessarily have a storyline that it's fully following the entire time. This one kind of does.
Mm-hmm.
But there's parts where it kind of meanders a little bit, and there's like little weird things that come in. But I really enjoyed the movie. I know you said you just said that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Okay,
fantastic.
I actually saw it twice.
Oh, nice, very nice. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where if you go in expecting an American animated movie,
you're
gonna have a bad time.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
you know, it's like, you know, pizzaing when you're trying to French fry, or when you're supposed to French fry.
Yeah.
Gonna have a bad time.
Exactly. Yeah, other than that, I know we had, was it just the one win for Barbie?
It was. Barbie only won one Oscar, and it went to Billie Eilish and Phineas O'Connell for the best original song,
which we're hearing all the time now on the radio.
Hey, it's a good song, don't diss it.
I didn't say it wasn't. I'm just saying it's being played all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Just like, what was the, was it the Linkin Park song?
Oh, for Transformers?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's one where, I know, I started playing it one time, and you're like, oh my God, I hate this song. Because it just got so overplayed.
Oh, it was the one from James Bond. Casino Royale.
Yep, yep.
And I hate to say it because of Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm. Know Your Name or whatever?
Yeah, yep.
There we go.
Because they overplayed it so much in 93X.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We all know that's Travis's favorite station.
Well, I love 93X, but they always overplay their...
Good songs.
Yeah.
They find a good song and they overplay it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I know we talked about it before, but I don't know if I could actually get tired of that song, because I may, like, I know I told Travis, but I may have seen that movie. So Casino Royale and Dark Knight,
yep,
were, like, right by each other release date-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I saw each of them 6 or 7 times in the theaters.
Jesus.
What ticket prices back then were, what,
like $6-7, something,
yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
I mean, you go to like, or actually, I was here for Dark Knight,
okay,
back when this still had the unnamed corporation specific projection in this booth right over here, like, dude, all the rest of the times that I saw it, I was like, man, I wish I was seeing this in, you know, some other format. But that semi-flip on this screen, oh, just...
And, like, full screen, too.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
But, yeah, I guess other than that, was there any kind of major winners that you guys saw that you were surprised about or anything like that?
I'm not surprised about it, but I guess the Academy was. Emma Stone took Best Actress for Poor Things, even though she was a very close to, she swept, but it was very very not called for or predicted by the Academy for Emma Stone to win Best Actress for Poor Things.
Mm. Yeah, because it was up between her and Lily Gladstone, right?
Yes.
Basically. Yeah. And yeah, I know a lot of people were basically like, yeah, it would be fantastic if Lily Gladstone won, but...
Mm-hmm. Emma Stone did.
Mm. And I remember seeing, as soon as they said Emma Stone, that Lily Gladstone just immediately lit up and started clapping and cheering and was one of the first ones to, like, just go hardcore, yeah, go Emma Stone. So that was nice to see.
That's awesome.
Kind of within the grouping there for Best Actress, just to see that, that's, you know, camaraderie. Yeah,
most definitely.
See, like, people aren't always not wholesome, especially in this, most people are, but, like, there's the people that are not wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course, right?
That was an example of people who are not, or who are, mm-hmm. very wholesome.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. But yeah, so we have all of that. Anything else you guys want to say about the Oscars? Because otherwise we got a lot to go through, because
yes,
we have three weeks that we have to talk about. The next couple of ones that we want to talk about are actually a little sad here. First one is that the creator, there's the word, creator of, you know, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, all of that, Akira Toriyama, has passed away.
Sad day.
I know that was a lot of people kind of in the circles that I run in. We're very, very heartbroken about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I know a couple of my buddies had the box set VHSs, where it was like the box set and it had the art across all the sides to make one big box art.
Oh, I remember that. That's awesome.
And I had a couple of people that had that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
I personally never really got into Dragon Ball, but I know a lot of people who did and who were very, very kind of just heartbroken when they heard this news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially since I think he was only in his 60s.
Yeah, he was. He was kind of young for his passing, which is very sad, but...
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I guess other than that, if you guys have anything you want, any... stories, anything like that?
Not really. It's just I've always been a big Dragon Ball Z fan and Dragon Ball Super, so it's just sad that now I know the manga will live on, because I'm sure he's gonna have, there's other people that can write that stuff too.
Absolutely.
But, and also, like, the anime, I'm sure that'll come, because I know there's another show coming out at some point. I think this fall. But yeah, so I'm sure it'll all be fine, but it's just sad.
Absolutely.
Sad.
Absolutely. We did have another, or did lose another person here, M. Emmett Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
From everything from Knives Out, like we were talking about before, you know, back to Blade Runner, back to, you know, TV shows in the 70s, you know, just been in a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even himself, you know, there's an interview that they had where he basically just always thought of himself as, you know, just a working class actor, you know, go in for the couple of days for the shooting, knock it out of the park,
mm-hmm.
and be done. And he basically had said before that he took every job and as if it was his last one, so he always tried to, you know, give it his all, really.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I liked about him. He always put his best effort into his movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you were saying, Hayden, that this one kind of hit you a little bit, too.
A little bit, yeah. I love Knives Out. It's an amazing movie. It's an amazing movie. I've actually seen it quite a few times. Probably more than I'd like to admit, but
I mean, it is a pretty great movie, and you keep on noticing different stuff every time you watch it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because then you look for things that you've seen people point out, and you're like, oh, hey, that is there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched the original Blade Runner?
I believe I have. Yeah, I just don't remember it very well.
Which version did you watch? No, there's like 17 versions of the movie.
I don't know whichever. One.
But yeah, there's like the theatrical version.
Yep.
Basically, the studio was like, yeah, nobody's going to get this. And so they had Harrison Ford come back in and do voiceover for it. But he just phoned it in. like, because he didn't think that it needed voiceover. He was mad that they made him come back in to do voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was mainly like, I couldn't believe that she was a robot, or, you know, whatever, a replicant. I didn't want to believe it, but that's what I was told. And just like,
this is
okay. I can see why I didn't do too well in the theaters.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, no. We you know, had Emmett Walsh pass away here, and you know, it definitely. Now I kind of want to go watch Knives Out again and Blade Runner and
Glass Onion. It is on. I'm not gonna say the streaming platform, but it's one of the bigger ones. Glass Onion is kind of a sequel.
Yes.
Kind of a sequel, runs along the lines of Knives Out, and it's pretty good. I liked it. I like it.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And there's one more Benoit Blanc movie coming in too.
Oh, there is.
Oh yeah, yeah. They purchased two movies. So Knives Out got made, and then they purchased two more movies from Ryan Johnson.
That's
awesome.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you had listened to the podcast, you would. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not like I've been working all week.
No.
But yeah, no, so we have all of that. Kind of going on to some other movie news here that we have. We actually have some news on The Batman 2.
Ooh, okay.
That we've talked about a little bit here. It has actually been delayed by 1 year. So now it'll be released in October of 2026.
October 2nd, to be exact.
October 2nd, exactly. Hmm. So, which will be, I think, what, 4 years after the original one?
Yes.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Mm. And so, like, I know they want to keep it, like, Warner Brothers wants to keep it in the fall time slot because a lot of the, you know, some of their biggest movies tend to be in the fall time slot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I mean, there is kind of in the article that we have here, Demolition Man in 1993 was same time frame. Gravity, Annabelle, A Star is Born, Joker. And then in 2024, this year, Joker, Folie à Deux will be the same time frame.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds good. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now we have to wait another year for The Batman 2 to come out.
Okay.
I saw The Batman, and it was, like, that 1 year that Minnesota got that really, really, like, dumped on them snow.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, yeah.
It was just, it was the year it came out, so 2023, or no, 2022, and I had to go in the back of the vehicle the person I was with, and we had to grab that snow shovel that he always carried around, and we had to dig out around the car so that we could open the driver and passenger doors.
Jeez.
That was hilarious.
Nice.
We had to do it at like 12:30 in the morning because that's what time we had saw it.
Oof.
Jeez.
So we were tired. We were exhausted. Our eyes were adjusting to the lights.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very nice.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was. I still get flashbacks.
I bet.
Well, I know one other movie that we have coming in that we had just announced here. That's coming in April 3rd of 2026, is a sequel to the Super Mario Bros. Animated movie.
Hmm.
So we have more Star-Lord. I mean, Owen. I mean, Mario. There
John,
we go. We got him.
John, careful. You said Garfield, and I got a little upset.
I mean, honestly, we kind of talked about it before, but... his voice actually lends itself to Garfield.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay, now I need to watch the trailer again.
Yeah. Like, it definitely has a Garfield vibe to it.
Oh, okay.
It definitely fits. His voice fits Garfield more than it does Mario.
That's not saying much.
I mean, it doesn't, but it's... I mean, it says a little something.
Isn't Chris Pratt, like, Irish or something?
I don't know, honestly.
Because he... like, Mario being Italian and then looking at Chris Pratt trying to voice act him is terrible to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. He didn't do a good job. The movie itself was good, but he did not do a good job voice acting Mario.
Right.
Coming from my personal experience.
He is of mostly Norwegian descent.
Oh, so he's Norse-ish.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Norse.
So basically what they're saying is that... He should have been Thor.
No, Chris Hemsworth can keep that title.
I mean, if he was as big as he was when he was Andy Dwyer, I mean, he could be Fat Thor.
Yes. That's my favorite version of Thor.
Fat Thor. But yeah, so we have those two movies that we now know are coming out. And actually, I'm going to move another one here because I just realized that we can talk about it right now.
Right now.
You talking about the movie that's coming out on October 25th of this year?
That is correct. Venom 3 now has a new title, mm-hmm. and it will be released. It got moved up a month, I think, mm-hmm. To October 25th of 2024 this year. It is going to be called Venom the Last Dance.
Okay.
A very good title, Marvel.
Right.
Well, I mean, so we just had Venom, and then we had Carnage, and now we have Dance?
I think I think they were reading the ideas, and they got mixed in, and someone got distracted, and saw Magic Mike, The Last Dance, and they're like, yeah, let's use that.
I was going to say, Julia Stiles saved The Last Dance?
There we go.
Which, I mean, honestly, I guess I can see more Deadpool referencing it, but I can still see Tom Hardy and Venom referencing Julia Stiles' Save the Last Dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you pointed it out to me, John. I can see that now.
But yeah, no, so we have that coming in. Basically, I guess it wasn't even a month. It was, 2 weeks or something like that, that it moved up from November 8th to October 25th?
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure Warner Brothers got scared considering how Madam Web did.
Oh, no.
Warner Brothers or Sony?
Oh, yeah, Sony. Sorry, my bad. I was mixed up with Batman there for a second.
Well, I'm sure.
Sony.
I'm sure Warner Brothers is shaking in their boots, too, because they have two very large movie franchises coming, and it's Deadpool, and they have Venom coming at them.
Yeah.
Deadpool's coming.
Deadpool is coming in July.
I can't wait for that.
Hopefully it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think that's all the movies that we have that actually have release dates in our movie news. Kind of. Nope, we got one more. We do have one more.
Do I happen to be blind to your drum?
Releasing on July 5th.
Excellent.
Exactly. What Travis just said. Travis, This is all you, man. This is all you.
What's releasing on July 5th there, Trav?
That would be Maxine.
There we go.
Which is the third movie in the X and Pearl franchise.
Hey, Travis?
Yes.
Are you sure it's not Ma Triple X-ine?
John, we're gonna play the ask you to leave.
All right, let me just stop the recording then, so I can take all my stuff.
Not leave it. We'll give it back to you in a little bit.
I still need to see Pearl. But I really enjoyed X, mm-hmm. and I know this one, they really wanted to pull out all the stops for this one, so I heard it's going to be a bloody good time, and I'm down for that, so I look forward to it. I know you're not going to watch it, so
I'll watch it with you.
Okay, perfect. See, there you go. I got a buddy now.
I'm so happy for you, Travis.
Thank you.
You're not going to be watching a movie all by yourself.
Woo! All right, so that does actually bring us to the end of the movies that we know are, or that have release dates either new or changing in the movie news for this week. Moving on to some other movie news that we have a new Wes Anderson movie coming out that has begun filming.
I swear he puts one out like every year.
Tries to.
Yeah.
I'm kind of behind on my Wes Anderson, unfortunately.
I am too, honestly.
I mean, I still haven't seen Isle of Dogs.
Really?
I know.
That's a good one, though.
I have it. I just haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen The French Dispatch or Astronaut City. Asteroid City, thank you.
Asteroid City's pretty good. I like it.
You ever watch The Grand Budapest Hotel?
I have not.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed that one. That one got me pretty good.
As if I'm not going to pass out when I get home already, I might as well turn it on.
There you go. It is very, very Wes Anderson-y.
Oh, okay. That's very specific. Thanks, John.
Well, I mean, so basically it is the telling of a tragic story in a whimsical fashion.
Oh, okay.
And it is basically very, very symmetrical, very dry humor.
It is.
Okay.
And very kind of old school Hollywood kind of, like, you know, I mean, like Wes Anderson, miniatures, and like there's one point where they're on a train and it was literally like them out in some snowy region on train tracks, where it was a cart with the wall and the window, and the camera was pointing towards the actors and then pointing out the window, and they were just rolling the cart along the tracks, and that's it. Like, it was just the one wall and the cart and then the actors and all of that.
Right.
So, very, very kind of quirky Wes Anderson, but if you actually, like, pay attention to the story and what happens in it, it's very kind of tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah, that's my pitch for watching Grand Budapest. But we have that. We have Benicio del Toro in the new Wes Anderson movie, I apologize. Benicio del Toro, Michael Cera, and Bill Murray are going to be in it.
He's still alive?
I mean, he's in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about him for a sec.
And, I mean, for a while there, he did own at least part of the St. Paul Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not too good on my Minnesota history. I'm sorry.
You are no Minnesotan.
I think I'm good enough Minnesotan to where if I bump into someone, I will say, oh, just out of instinct.
Hey, Travis.
Yeah?
What would happen if I needed to get to the safe in the manager's office?
I just need to move right past you there, yeah.
Oh, just going to sneak right past you. Yep. Every single time, even if I didn't mean to. just going to sneak right past you.
Sneak right past you there.
Whoop, on your left.
Oh, gotta get some ranch there.
That hidden valley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You betcha.
Yeah, I would get made fun of quite a bit in the manager's office at our old theater.
Yep.
Whenever I would talk, really.
Oh, come on.
Basically.
I mean, I mean, whenever the like Minnesota accent came out, it would always be like, yeah, we'd always be, oh yeah, don't you know?
Just somebody, somebody's like, oh hey, I need to move this movie over to this other theater. Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
You betcha.
Shut up, John. What? What did I say?
Get back. Go in the back. We don't need you. You're being benched, player.
Exactly. So, new Wes Anderson coming in. We also have a new Ari Aster movie.
Oh, yeah.
Movie coming in. Called Eddington. This one will have Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Austin Butler, and Pedro Pascal. But yeah, so we have those four joining Ari Aster. Joaquin Phoenix joining back in to Ari Aster, because he did Beau Was Afraid, right?
He did, yeah.
That was a good movie.
It was really weird, though.
It was weird, but it was good.
So, I don't know exactly what this one is going to be about, or I guess it follows a small town New Mexico sheriff with higher aspirations.
Hmm. That definitely does not sound like something that Ari Aster would do, considering he's usually in the horror game.
Typically,
but, I mean, Beau Is Afraid is...
That's just a strange
movie. It was just a really strange movie with horror elements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it works. We'll just have to see how it all goes once it comes out.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We actually have another announced movie that... kind of getting into casting news, like actually casting news, or more casting news. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I can, I still can't talk. Never mind.
Your
words,
John.
Words.
Words are hard, okay?
Okay.
So, a movie that I honestly did not think was going to get a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
The Accountant 2.
Exactly. We have The Accountant 2 coming in, and we have Ben Affleck is returning, John Bernthal is returning, J.K. Simmons is returning, and Cynthia Adai Robinson is returning.
That's awesome.
That's going to be a good movie.
I'm sad that Anna Kendrick won't be back, though.
Right. Right. I mean, at the end, he did kind of just leave her.
True.
So...
Very
There's
true.
A reason she's definitely not in the sequel.
But well, she didn't get killed or anything. No,
right.
Should've.
He just kind of like left because he. What was it that he didn't want her to get like
caught up in the life or something
yeah,
like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean like apparently like, this movie when it came out did not do well.
No, it didn't.
But it has done apparently amazingly well in the. Streaming and rental platforms.
Okay.
And so like it's kind of gotten almost like this cult status, really.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite like Rocky Horror or anything like that, but you know, now when you say The Accountant, people actually know which movie you're talking about, which is very strange because when it came out, I was like, man, you guys gotta see this. And they're like,
the what?
What? Why?
Right.
Because it's so good.
Speaking of Ben Affleck, while we're on that term, did any of you guys see Air?
No.
Yes.
Never, I saw Air. That
mm-hmm.
was a good movie.
I like that one.
It was well performed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, John, you have homework from me. Go watch Air. It's on Peacock.
I don't have Peacock.
It's on Freevee.
I don't have Freevee.
Freevee is free. It says it right in the name.
Yeah, but I have to sign up for something. I've already got too many passwords.
You can literally just keyboard spam your password and press save password on Google.
Yeah, but then if I want to watch it on another device, I mean, you're talking to somebody who has like 17 devices that he watches stuff on.
John, I think that's an issue
does.
Not miss me.
So, yeah. Accountant 2. I don't know if we actually have any sort of like synopsis of it or anything like that.
Too early, I guess.
I think so. I guess I don't even know if the lady behind or the lady in the chair for Ben Affleck's accountant is going to be back either.
Who was that?
I don't know. Honestly, I do not know her name.
I feel like it was revealed in the movie, and it was, like, a big deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I know who her character is and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't know the name of the character or
gotcha.
Who played them.
Okay. That's fair.
Well, guys, should we talk about how Bill Hader is going to be the Cat in the Hat?
I mean, we could talk about that thing or thing two. I don't know.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
I mean, we could talk about it on a boat or on a moat.
With a goat?
With a goat and a coat in a boat.
In oot and a boot and a bow and a bay.
Oot and a boot. Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, grab your coat, put in a coat in a boat, oot and a boot and a boat and a bay.
Boot in the boot.
Boot in the boot.
Canadian rapper status. Justin Bieber, watch out.
No, that's more, all right, stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flows like a harpoon, daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights, and I'll glow. Vanilla Ice is Canadian, right?
Yeah, it's close enough.
He's pale and he talks funny. He must be Canadian.
So,
I mean, just because he has ice in the name doesn't mean he's Canadian, but
but it raises the odds.
Right.
Yeah, so we have Bill Hader. Yeah, we have Bill Hader coming in as the Cat in the Hat in a new animated movie.
Okay.
Which is surprising to me. Because I did not think that they would ever make another Cat in the Hat movie.
After the one with Mike Myers. Do the best.
Yeah.
And was universally hated. But now people seem to like really, it's got a cult following, kind of.
There are the people that grew up with it that enjoy it. So you enjoyed it, right? No, I'm just kidding. I feel like the people that grew up with it really, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But a lot of other people did not, including the estate of Dr. Seuss. I don't know, man. I have no strong feelings one way or the other as of right now for this movie. It's the other movie, let's just take that and dump it in the trash, you know, just right over there. It's good.
God, who was all in that movie?
Well, Mike Myers. It was Dakota Fanning, I think.
Yep.
Where was it? Elle Fanning. No, it was Dakota.
It was Dakota.
And then
Spencer Breslin.
Yep. It was the Breslin brother.
And then Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin. Oh.
And then who was the mom?
Oh, gosh.
Taylor Swift.
Consult the mighty Google.
No, not the Google.
Can we get that on a t-shirt for Travis?
It's the Indaba.
Indaba.
Kelly Preston.
Oh.
Never heard of her.
That's John Travolta's wife.
Never heard of her.
Did you ever watch Sky High?
Oh.
Yeah. She was Jetstream.
Oh. I never cared. I never cared about that. I never cared to know what her name was.
There you go. There you go.
That's not enough for my likings.
But then Sean Hayes was in it as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep,
as Mr. Humberflube.
He definitely got bullied in high school.
Darren Norris was the announcer.
Okay.
Homer was the voice of Thing One.
Okay. Dan Castellaneta. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Homer.
And then, yeah. Yeah, Mike Myers, Breslin brother, older Fanning, Jack from 30 Rock, there we go. John Travolta's wife.
Will be unnamed because the special guest doesn't care.
Right.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. But yeah, so we'll leave that one there. The new one, we have Bill Hader, we have Bowen Yang, who has been on SNL for a little bit here now. Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary is in it.
Okay.
I don't know how to say this name.
What name?
Zochitl Gomez?
Let me see this.
X-O-C-H-I-T-L.
S-H-O what?
X-O-C-H-I-T-L. Who was in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Oh, was that?
I wonder if that was
the girl.
What's her face? Yeah. Oh, why can't I think of her name in the movie? But I know who you're talking about.
Yes, it was America Chavez.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry, I don't know how to say her name at all. And then Matt Berry is going to be in it as well, which I am A-okay with that. I don't know. Do you guys know who Matt Berry is?
Nope.
Sounds familiar.
Never heard of him.
Did you ever watch The IT Crowd?
Never did.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch... He was the son of the boss in The IT Crowd.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Where he would go, Father!
Yep.
typical white boy.
Did you ever watch What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes.
The TV show What We Do in the Shadows.
Fox, not sponsored.
He's Laszlo.
Oh.
Very, very unique voice.
Yeah, so if I definitely heard him, I'd know exactly who you're talking about.
Yes.
Sounds good.
And then in The Watch, did you ever watch The Watch?
Did I ever watch The Watch? Yes. No, I did not watch The Watch.
That was a good show, too. It was only on for like one season, I think, and then it got canceled. But he was Gawain the Sword.
Never heard of it.
So we have all of that for Cat in the Hat. It's going back to Cat in the Hat.
Yes, yeah, back to that.
But moving on from, I guess kind of staying with that same theme, Mike Myers was in SNL. Did you know that?
I did know that. I'm not that uncultured.
but it was SNL, 1975, the movie that we have coming out about the first... first episode of SNL back in 1975. There you go. Very nice. We have some more casting that we need to talk about.
Oh, dear.
We have McCabe Gregg, Taylor Gray, Joe Crest, and Billy Bryke, sorry, and J.K. Simmons.
Oh, hey, we heard that name earlier today, didn't we?
We did.
In The Accountant.
Yes.
Two.
Yes. So, basically, J.K. Simmons is... who did they say that he was going to play? I saw it, and then I just completely... Simmons will play comedian Milton Berle.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Billy Bryke will play... I guess they don't... Did they say who he'll play? Okay, so details of his role haven't been disclosed. Joe Crest, who was in Stranger Things, will be playing... The Weekend Update co-creator Herb Sargent. Okay. And then Taylor Gray and McCabe Gregg will be playing Al Franken and Tom Davis.
Nice, okay.
And then we had another... There was another casting that I saw. I don't remember who it was, but at first they said that he was going to be playing Jim Henson.
Ooh, okay.
But then a set picture came out, and he is not playing Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. He is playing Andy Kaufman.
Oh, okay.
Because he had the Andy Kaufman suit on and the record player.
Okay.
All right.
But I don't remember who that was. I can't remember their name. I saw it like 3 weeks ago, so go figure.
Speaking of Andy Kaufman, have any of you seen Man on the Moon?
I have seen Man on the Moon, Travis.
That's a good movie.
I agree. I concur.
Yeah, well, that's the suit that he had on in the set picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have all of that for SNL 1975. Don't have too much more news other than that for, like, story. I mean, we kind of already talked about the story about the hours leading up to the first, you know, live from New York at Saturday night. And just kind of the everything that went on with that. Mm-hmm. They seem to be getting a lot smaller names. I mean, J.K. Simmons being one of the biggest ones in the movie, right. I think. We'll have to see how it all goes, but yeah. Oh, that's right. Dylan O'Brien was going to be in it, too. It looks like they got, some complete unknowns for that.
Speaking of a complete unknown.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was going to see if Travis got my segue.
That was a very nice segue.
I intercepted it, didn't I?
You did.
You did. Well, which, that's fine. Yeah. I mean,
I'm A-okay with that.
Travis is just sitting up in the corner staring at his phone.
I'm
dang kids on their phones these days.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, Travis.
Man, why don't they be like, kids back in the day making beatnik music?
and breakdancing on every street corner.
So, Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic that we have. We actually have some more people that have been added on. A lot of names that I really don't know. Why does that name sound familiar? Oh, that's him. Okay, sorry. Just realized who it was.
Would you like to elaborate, John?
I will. So we have people coming in like Charlie Tahan from Ozark, Will Harrison from Daisy Jones and the Six, Scoot McNairy from Argo, if you ever watched Argo. Dan Fogler from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. That's who I was like, oh, that's who it is. He's the muggle guy from the Fantastic Beasts franchise. Yep. Kind of, oh, what's that? What'd you do? Mm-hmm. What? The entire time?
Yep, that guy.
Yes. And then Boyd Holbrook has joined in as well.
Boyd.
He was in Logan. The guy, the main bad guy.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, John.
I gotcha.
I'm not saying that I didn't know that. There's just a couple viewers and maybe one person in this room that didn't know that.
And maybe at least.
Needed a...
A refresher.
Yeah, just...
I gotcha.
Refresh the page a sec.
But here's the thing. Complete Unknown, also directed by James Mangold, who directed Logan.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, there's got to be some tie here. Let me guess. Logan?
Yep. So, We have all of that. Obviously, we've talked about Timothée Chalamet being Bob Dylan. But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't know. I wonder if they're going to come and film in Minnesota at all.
You would think they would have to, like, at least somewhat.
Yeah. Because Bob Dylan is Minnesota. Don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, he does live here.
Yeah. Bob Dylan used to?
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Oh, way back in the day, really?
It was a Tuesday.
Ha. It was a Tuesday. John, what did you and Bob Dylan do on that Tuesday that you remember so clearly?
I didn't.
You sure?
I mean, technically, back in the day, it was technically a Wednesday, but...
Whatever. I was off by a day. My joke references games
you
are
went
weak.
A long way to make a Dane Cook reference, and you... it was good, though. I give you credit.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Appreciate
that.
A for effort.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome, man.
So,
you Peaky Blinder.
Hey, look at that. Nice transition there, Trav. We've seen this name before.
Yes. So, Complete Unknown had that casting. Peaky Blinder. Peaky Blinders, I think. I might have.
It's Peaky Blinders. There's another typo, John.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
I don't know what you're talking about. Already definitely isn't there.
Already screenshotted it, man.
So, Peaky Blinders is going to be getting a movie. Cillian Murphy has confirmed it.
Okay.
And so, I'm guessing that he'll be returning for the movie. I don't know. Have you guys ever watched Peaky Blinders?
Yes, I have on that very special streaming service that is also has a glass onion.
No, Hayden, no.
I can't say it.
But so, it starts with an N, though.
It's a big red one.
So we have all of that. I don't know if they actually said anything about what it's going to be about, but it's set to begin filming in September and will be set during the Second World War.
Okay.
So isn't that when Peaky Blinders basically is?
I think it's before the Second World. It's after the first one, but before the second one.
So it's that small little time span when Germany gave everybody a break?
Kind of.
Sounds good.
I think the whole thing is about, like, Prohibition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, so that would have been 1920s through the 30s. Mm-hmm. To when the police just gave up. They're like, whatever.
We don't care anymore. You guys can just drink. It's fine.
So we'll see how it all goes. If you like the show, it's something to look forward to, at least here.
Definitely.
Now I get to go rewatch Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
And I finally have an excuse to wait, or I shouldn't even say waste. It's a good show. Finally have an excuse to use, like, 7 days, a whole week.
Well, maybe when you're watching it, you can just, like, load up on your computer The Sims or something.
Really trying to get these transitions down, aren't we, Travis?
Mm-hmm.
We try every week.
Yep. They might not be good, but
some days are a little worse for the wear.
You know what, Travis?
What's
just
that?
In spite of you, I'm going to load up The Sims 4.
Okay, awesome.
I think Margot Robbie's production company is trying to do the unlimited money hack.
Did you really just say Margot?
Margot Robbie.
Oh, everyone pronounces it Margot around me. I don't know why. I've always pronounced it Margot, but like everyone has told me, like, oh, Margot Robbie. No, don't do that.
It's Margot Robbie.
You don't need that
goes
kind of
out
negativity
to Jake Green.
In your life.
It looks like Margot Robbie's production company, which is... I think Lucky Chance or Lucky...
Milky Chance.
Lucky Chap.
Lucky Chap.
Yes.
Chap. Ooh, yeah. I call people Chap.
Is looking to make the movie The Sims, and the director as of right now is Kate Herron, who directed Loki.
Okay.
Or at least a couple episodes. I don't know how many are best known for directing season one of Loki.
Okay.
Which I love Loki.
A great season.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll have that. We'll see if any woohoo is made. We'll also see if if a baby catches fire and the person just like ah!
I'm gonna order DoorDash so many times. I'm just gonna lock everybody in the same room.
Yep. Or put somebody in the pool and take out the ladder.
Oh yes.
If they made The Sims into a horror movie, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Just take out the ladder, or, you know, just do all the messed up things that all the psychopaths that play The Sims do.
One room studio apartment.
What was it?
Getting as many people as you can into there. Start entity cramming.
I don't know. I'm more partial to Sims 3, but we don't know if that'll actually get made.
Wow. Okay.
It was a stretch. It was a big stretch.
It was a very large stretch.
So, speaking of number threes that won't get made, Dune 3. Apparently, Denis Villeneuve said that he won't do Dune 3.
Unless
it's going to be better than Part 2.
Which, if it's going to be better than Part 1, that's not hard to do.
So,
I mean, I enjoyed Part 1.
I did too, and I still bought all the Fortnite skins for it, but... Yeah, sorry, I had to bring that into it.
Dang kids, I tell
you. Have you seen Part 2 yet?
I have not had a chance
to. That's true. If you would have, you would have talked about it today. My bad, I'm sorry.
Hey, Travis, you know what it's time to do?
What's that?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to spoil it today. No. I don't like ruining people's dreams that much.
Thank you.
He really wants to see Dune.
Unless they're my siblings, then I love ruining those dreams.
Your children?
Yes, my children and siblings.
But yeah, so he has come out and said that he does not want to do Dune 3 unless there's something better than Dune 2. Unless he knows that it's going to be better than Dune 2. So, I mean, that's a pretty high standard for himself to hold on to. But he also said that he spent the last 6 years on Arrakis, and mm-hmm. he wants a break. So
sure. I mean, that's understandable.
They bring Dune 3 to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not.
There you go. But we'll have to see how it all goes. It would be interesting to see them bring the next book to the movie screen.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark.
So I don't think the third book has ever been put to movie, has it?
Well, see, it's only the second book.
Because
is Dune, and Dune Part 2 is only the first book.
That's very true.
So, yeah, I guess so.
And the second book is called Dune Messiah.
Okay.
Oh, nope, I was going to... No, I stopped myself, Travis.
Thank you.
I stopped myself.
But yeah, so we have all of that coming in. Trying to move along here. Because there's still so much left to go.
Hey man, this is your fault. You wrote the Google Doc.
Well, I mean, I wanted to go to 11.
All right.
So,
what should we tap into?
How about the spine? Spinal Tap 2. I mean, if the subtitle is not "This one goes to 11," I will be severely disappointed.
They should have just called it Spinal Tap 11.
Well, why not 2?
I mean, yeah.
Because this one goes to 11.
Spinal Tap.
Yep.
It would totally work, too, if it was the Roman numerals 2.
Mm-hmm.
Missed opportunity, you guys.
Not yet, though. Not yet. Because they haven't come out with any artwork yet or any posters or anything like that.
Right.
If you're listening, we have ideas. We have ideas. If you wanna sponsor the podcast, we'd definitely take any sponsorship. Even though St. Michael Cinema is definitely sponsoring the podcast, and we do appreciate that with the audio space and everything. Thank you for the sponsorship, St. Michael Cinema. Appreciate you. Thank you.
making the sponsorship so quiet, people can barely understand where we are.
Oh, I want them to feel like it's listening to NPR. This is John with the Movies Are a Thing podcast here on NPR.
Because you people still have that. Oh, yeah, they have to, because rental cars come with a custom and you can't change it. Thank you, Phoenix Airport, for ruining my life.
We have Spinal Tap 2 coming in. But, yeah, absolutely. If they should. They should listen to our podcast, and they should take that idea, and then they should credit us.
And then they should pay us for the idea.
There you go. But, yeah, Spinal Tap 2 is coming in. We do have some cameos that we know about, including Questlove, Trisha Yearwood, and Paul McCartney and Elton John.
Yeah, Elton John.
Mm-hmm. But
Trisha Yearwood, that's Garth Brooks' wife, right?
Indeed, I believe.
Rob Reiner is back directing it. Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer are all reprising their roles.
Awesome.
Let's see here. But yeah, it is filming right now in New Orleans.
Okay.
Two very different places.
Very different.
But I know they may be on the same, like, coast of the United States, kind of, but they are very different places.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Airport-wise.
So basically, this movie will see Spinal Tap, England's loudest and most punctual band, reunite following a 15-year hiatus for one final concert.
Hmm.
If only John Lennon were alive.
We're going to 11.
Excuse, what was that?
We're going to 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I have for that one.
But since we're on the topic of the New Orleans, should we kick in the Saints? Talk about the Saints? Wait, am I stupid? New Orleans Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just not a fan of the Saints.
I don't think anyone here is.
I do have a question. So, uh-oh. With everything that went down with the Saints, did it go down with the Boondocks?
Answer the question, John.
No.
No, this is a segue.
No. Yeah, I'm aware.
No, but there was a firefight.
Oh, dear.
There's a firefight.
But yeah, Boondock Saints. We have another movie coming in with Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Duffy will not be part of this.
What?
He will step aside as director after creating and helming the original and the 2009 sequel.
Yeah, that sequel wasn't very good, though.
And I think that's why he's stepping away.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the first one definitely has a special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Willem Dafoe, Billy Connolly, Norman and Sean just kind of doing their thing.
That's right.
Wild thing.
But yeah, so we have all of that. Like I said, Troy Duffy's not coming in. Thunder Road, the producers behind the John Wick's films.
Okay.
They're stepping in and they're making a quote-unquote universe expansion of the action film franchise about the fraternal Irish brothers who raise holy hell to rid their Boston hometown of criminals.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm smelling a sense of Four Brothers with Mark Wahlberg.
And that's a deep cut.
I don't know why.
I like that movie.
I did too. Mm-hmm. I still like it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Deep cut, but like brothers defending Boston just kind of jumped into my head there for a sec.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty close, yeah.
I think the Boondock Saints came out a couple of years before Four Brothers, but
what Boondock Saints was?
99,
yeah. I was going to say it was before 2000.
I think it was 99.
Sounds about right.
A year later, everybody went nuts because they thought the world was going to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Y2K.
Yep.
And then the year after that, Donnie Darko was released, 2 weeks after 9/11 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence, question mark?
Yeah, with the whole plane stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Donnie Darko?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
I didn't like it.
Wow. Really?
I didn't like it.
Wow.
I know, I'm
going
to this table that didn't like that movie.
Better watch out. Frank the Bunny's going to get you.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, so we have that coming in. At some point in time, I don't know when, but we have confirmation that those guys are all returning. I have no segue. I just have a title of this article that is a horrible, horrible pun on the name of the inferior TV show. This is the literal headline. Teen Titans live action movie a go at DC Studios.
That's terrible. Okay.
Please tell me that's Hollywood Insider so I can be mad at them.
No,
nope. It was the Hollywood Reporter.
Yes.
Ah, so close.
So,
same company.
We have a live action Teen Titans movie coming in that is going to be part of the Superman DC universe James Gunn and Peter Safran are leading.
Oh, good so job. This will be a part of the whole James Gunn DCEU. Okay.
Yes. I never watched Go. I was very much more the original Teen Titans show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even then I didn't watch all of it, but I did sit and watch, you know, more than a couple episodes of it. But yeah, I don't know how to feel about this. I did not watch I have not watched Titans yet on HBO Max. It's on my to-watch list. Has been since I got HBO Max when it first premiered.
Yeah, it's not HBO anymore.
When it was still called HBO Max, I should say. I don't know how to feel about this one. Do you have any thoughts or anything like that?
Like I said, I guess the only thing that popped into my head was if there's any viewers out there who have seen the picture of the hyper-realistic version of Robin, you know what I'm talking about. That's exactly what popped into my brain first time I heard about it.
All right, but that does end our movie news finally here. Do you guys have anything you want to say about any of the movie news that we talked about today?
I've got nothing.
All right, well then that brings us into our trailers, but before we go into the trailers, make sure you visit us at Facebook or facebook.com/moviesarething. We also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething, no spaces, dashes, anything like that, at moviesarething. Come on by and say hi. Yeah, I say that every single time.
He sure does.
I don't know if that I should exact be astonished or I don't know how to do this. Okay.
Just you wait until the end.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
That brings us to our trailers. The first trailer that we have is a trailer for The Wild Robots. I don't know. I kind of want to watch this movie.
It looks entertaining.
I haven't watched the trailer for it yet.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What kind of podcast guest are you? I'm just joking.
So it's by the same people that did that produced How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I knew that.
And basically what it looks like is a robot from, I don't know if it's like from an aliens whatever, or it's, you know, in the future and, you know, just kind of crash lands out in the forest or something like that. But the animals.
Hmm? I have a clip of this. I think actually I found a couple clips of that movie.
Very nice. The animals basically kind of start it up, and then it kind of learns the way of the animals. So, like, it learns to swim from the otters. It learns to climb rocks from the crabs. It, you know, learns to gallop through the forest with the deer. You know, all that kind of stuff. And, like, it looks astonishing.
Yeah. The robot design reminds me of an old video game from the 90s. It was the tail end of the Sega Genesis, but I don't know if you remember it, but it was, I think, Vector Man.
Not really, no.
Okay. It was this green robot that you would go around. It was a platformer. You'd go around and shoot things, and it would, like, his arms would extend out, and that's what it reminded me of.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be kind of like, you know, that a little bit of a cutesy film, absolutely.
Sure.
It reminds me of WALL-E meets Iron Giant.
Ooh, that's a good, okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I think I have seen the trailer for this, actually.
Okay.
It's not based off of what you've posted here.
Wait, what?
I've probably seen the trailer on my own, not with the podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll give up that clip. But yeah, I mean, that's basically what I feel. Watching the movie is a smash between WALL-E and Iron Giant.
Mm-hmm. And it's from the creator, I mean, it's from DreamWorks, so.
Yep. And the people that actually, like, made How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent movie series, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, yeah.
Are you excited for the live action? Okay.
I think it's time we get some video recorders.
Yeah.
I think it's time we get video on the podcast.
If you guys couldn't tell, he did do a fist pump.
I did, yeah. If you guys couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Or sense it with your powers. You and your... I was yanking the train horn.
But yeah, make sure you don't yank that train horn 3 times in a row. We went into our next trailer, which is the new trailer for Beetlejuice.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
The juice is loose.
Yes, we have an actual trailer for Beetlejuice. What do you guys think of the trailer? If you've seen the trailer.
Don't look at me like that.
Don't look at me in that tone of
this
voice.
This is the one trailer I did watch. I like the trailer. It looks like a movie I'd actually be willing to see.
Yes. So I have a theory.
Oh, dear. That's dangerous.
I know. I have a feeling that the movie is going to open with a funeral that we see the trailer open with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is also why we don't see Jeffrey, what's his name?
Oh, which is like, so the father died?
Yep.
That would be my guess, especially because of, you know, some legal trouble that the actor has become a part of.
Right.
Yeah, no, Jeffrey Jones does not look like he is in this movie. As far as I know, it's not listed as any of his stuff. He hasn't had a movie since 2019, go figure.
Because he's been where, John?
Where do you think?
A place where Beetlejuice would be coming handy, where Beetlejuice would come in handy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's just say he's dressed like the snake in the original one.
Yes. There we go.
Or Beetlejuice himself, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's just a feeling, a movie feeling. Mm-hmm.
You really tried harder.
I am. I crack myself up. That's kind of one of my things. Because if I don't laugh, nobody else will.
That's right. Somebody has to.
Exactly. And I am hilarious. So,
as I've learned.
But yeah, so basically, it looks like Winona Ryder, once again, looses the juice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for this one. We got Catherine O'Hara back. We got Winona Ryder.
Michael Keaton's back as
Michael Keaton is back.
I'm happy to hear that they're doing old-fashioned stop motion again for this movie. So that's awesome.
So it's actually going to be accurate.
Yeah.
First Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very
Beetlejuice
nice.
Is kind of an alien, isn't he? Isn't he their job?
Not quite, but I see where you're going. I was going to say, too, Jenna Ortega is, ooh, I'm guessing, Winona Ryder's daughter.
Yeah, that would, yeah.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah, it would. It would make a lot of sense.
So, but yeah, no, definitely not not an alien. Definitely not from the Romulan Empire either. we have another trailer, this time for Alien Romulus. Did you watch this one?
I did watch this one.
Did you?
I'm going to see it.
You're going to go see it? Travis?
I'm so excited.
You guys have fun with it.
I'm not going to see Alien? Okay.
It's not even a horror movie, man.
I mean, I had a...
sci-fi with horror aspect. Just think of it like that.
You saw the original in school, right?
I did.
So this one looks like it's going to go back to its roots.
Yeah.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Coming in with Fede Alvarez as the director.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, he made Don't Breathe and Evil Dead. And...
yeah, so horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Weird.
But I think this looks good. It looks like it's a it's a return to
the original.
To the original format of girl on spaceship trying to survive an alien attack. And yeah, it looks awesome. I'm super excited for it.
Does look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have that. We have another sequel that is part of a spin-off, I guess, technically, of another saga. Mm-hmm. And that is Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Yes, it is.
The more I see of this, the more I want to watch it.
I know.
It just looks way too good.
It looks like Fury Road,
mm-hmm,
but improved? Question mark?
I don't know how much improvement it really needed, but, I mean, on terms of graphics, yeah. I guess.
Well, I mean, like...
yeah.
Even in the trailer, starting out black and white with the apple being the only color, and then as soon as she grabs the apple, all of a sudden it's all green and, you know, everything like that, and then just all of the color grading and the look of everything, and then just... okay, so we saw Immortan Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely at the Bullet Farmer's place.
Right.
Because all the casings falling onto him as he was, like, going off of the conveyor belt thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth, I should say. Excuse me. It looks like we're going to get how she lost her arm.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the trailer, she had her prosthetic arm.
Yep.
I am very excited for this movie. So basically, like, in Fury Road, we heard about the Green Place.
Yes.
And all the mothers and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
How they were supposed to be protecting the Green Place, but that everything died out, and that's why they, you know, in Fury Road, that's why they turned back and went back to all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But now we're actually going to see it. We're going to see kind of more what happened to it, hopefully, or at least, you know, kind of get a better backstory of it.
Yeah.
Which I am A-okay with.
I am too. And I, like, Anna Taylor-Joy, she looks so much like Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, in everything that I've seen so far in these trailers and even in the poster, I mean, it screams that, yes, she is playing a younger Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so, yes. I'm ready for this movie to come through, but at least for this podcast, I think time has kind of flown the way of the crow. Straight ahead.
Crow chasing the butterfly.
So we have a new trailer for The Crow.
I didn't watch this trailer.
You didn't watch it?
I did not watch it.
Okay. Have you seen the original?
No.
You definitely should.
Okay.
It's from the 90s. It is about a guy who, him and his girlfriend, wife, get murdered, and he comes back to life to avenge her death and gets superhero powers, basically. And that one was, it's got a cult following, mm-hmm. and people love it. And now that they're remaking it, there's been a lot of people being upset at the fact that they're remaking this movie.
Okay, we're going to be upset about everything.
Well, I mean, the reason that people are upset is because in the original one, the star of the movie was Brandon Lee, who is
Bruce Lee's son.
Yes.
And died while making the movie. Somehow a bullet got switched up in the guns.
I always heard it was a blank, but blanks can still be deadly.
Oh, it was? Okay. I always thought it was like they got switched out for a real bullet or something, but okay.
So a blank shell still does fire something.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And he ended up having enough injuries from that he ended up dying because of that gunshot.
I heard about that.
And so a lot of people have felt like the Crow was an, you know, quote unquote untouchable movie to remake because of that legacy for it.
But now they're just,
and that's why they're mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, I guess.
But I don't know. I was very skeptical. I mean, Travis, you know, I was skeptical about.
Yeah, I really was too, because I love the original so much, and I just didn't know how they were going to do this one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when they had the picture on the last episode that we did, where it was nipple eye.
Yeah.
They basically had a picture, and it was him, his jacket was open or whatever, and he had a tattoo of a face with his nipple as the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they jokerized him.
Basically. Because in the original, I don't think we saw any real tattoos.
But he had
long sleeves and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, because he had that. He had long sleeves and, like, a trench coat.
And then he had, like a... Even when he didn't have the trench coat, he had, like, a long sleeve t-shirt on, basically.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so we have that trailer that came in.
You know what they say, John? The dead don't bite.
They don't bite, and also that they don't hurt.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to our last trailer that we have for this week, and that is the trailer that just released not too long ago here for The Dead Don't Hurt, which is a Western that is written and directed by Viggo Mortensen.
Awesome.
I mean, you guys watched the... Yeah, I was going to say you watched the trailer.
Yep, not like right before recording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like... It very much looks like an ode to the old school westerns, mm-hmm. while still being modern enough to make it big as a, you know, blockbuster type movie.
And this isn't the like second or, well, we're gonna get two other westerns this year too, with Kevin Costner's movies coming out
too. Yeah, because he has the two movies coming out this year for that's the one movie, but it's split into two movies.
Yeah.
That basically everybody's like, oh, it's his return to basically Dances with Wolves, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then this one is, they're saying kind of along the lines of Unforgiven. If you ever watched that one with Clint Eastwood and mm-hmm. Morgan Freeman, I believe.
Love Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman. Morgan Freeman, Richard Harris is in it as English Bob.
Okay. It's been a while since I've seen Unforgiven, but it's a good one.
Yeah, very, very weird to see Albus Dumbledore as a bad guy. But he was in Unforgiven.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
I should say the first two movies, Albus Dumbledore, not the last five,
mm-hmm.
six movies. Apologies. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, The Dead Don't Hurt. This one looks really good. I really don't even know how to explain it. It's like a Frenchman comes in and goes to San Francisco, finds a wife. They come in looking for Union soldiers, volunteers kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He volunteers while he's away. His wife gets basically brutalized by guys that stay back or something like that is what it looks like. And then he comes back and has to avenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only way I can think of to describe it.
I'm gonna get you. Yep.
All right, Travis, we've heard that too much today.
I know. That's okay.
Oh. You almost got it.
Yep.
Gotta be a little quicker than that.
Yep. Whoa.
But yeah, that does bring us to the end of our trailers for this week. But that brings us to our movies that are premiering this week.
Take it away, Trav.
The first one that we have is Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. This one will be in theaters, and it is rated PG-13. The latest entry in the MonsterVerse franchise follows up the explosive showdown of Godzilla vs. Kong with an all-new cinematic adventure, pitting the almighty Kong and fearsome Godzilla against a colossal undiscovered threat hidden within our world, challenging their very existence and our own. The epic new film will delve further into the histories of these titans, their origins, and the mysteries of Skull Island and beyond, while uncovering the mythic battles that helped forge these extraordinary beings and tied them to humankind forever. IMDb Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic did not have a score for this one yet. Travis?
What's up?
You excited for this one?
You know, I really want to be.
The Kong saga is going too far, I have to say it. Kong saga is going too far.
I mean,
there's too many. I lost count.
I gotta remember that Godzilla Minus One and this Godzilla are different, and that but okay, so
think of them as Godzilla and Gojira.
Yeah, exactly. What am I trying to say here? So this one, like, I wanna watch it. But I will agree, I feel like the one movie of them together was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been the one and done, and that they should have had their own separate movies again. But I can understand why they want to have them together, because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, we want to make money. Which, I mean, that's Hollywood in a nutshell anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, we want to make money.
Yep. So I'm gonna watch this. I may like it, I may not. I just hope that it ends up being more of them like fighting whatever they're fighting instead of like the human aspect, because that was always the lamest part of the whole thing, was that I never really enjoyed the whole human aspect of it, but I enjoyed like watching Godzilla and King Kong destroying staying things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. I think they went into a shared universe too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kind of stuck in an, you know, Avengers Marvel kind of situation where if they make their own movies, oh well, where was, you know, own Godzilla movie? Oh well, where was Kong during all of this? Why couldn't he, you know, help out? Why wasn't he, you know, affected by what was happening? They mm-hmm. make a new Kong movie. Oh, where was Godzilla in all of this? Why wasn't he, you know, laser beaming the bad guy to death or whatever?
Right.
You know, it set them up for almost failure, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because so, now they're just gonna have to have them. They're gonna have to have them together for every movie now.
Mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, have them cameo in each other's movies.
Exactly. Right.
At the very, very least.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless they do another reset.
Right. Which, I mean, it's Hollywood. You just never know.
Exactly. Exactly. So, we have that movie coming out. We also have A Cat's Life. This one will be in theaters. This one is rated PG, and it is an English dub. Mm. Clement rescues a kitten named Lou in her Parisian attic, and they form an unbreakable bond. They venture to the countryside for her family's vacation, where Lou's curiosity leads to thrilling adventures in the woods. Amidst new friendships and dangers, Lou's journey unfolds, marking a transformation from a curious kitten to a brave and adventurous cat. IMDb had this one at 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic did not have a score. This one reminded me of something. I can't place my finger on it.
Like A Dog's Purpose?
Yeah. Yeah.
A Dog's Journey, perhaps.
Or A Dog's Journey. Or
Homeward Bound without the animal narration.
Yes.
I know that I'm going to get dragged into this movie by my family. I know for a fact that they're going to drag me to it.
Even though it's a you know, English dub movie?
That is what is making me not want to go see it, because I cannot stand watching lips move, but the English dub is not following.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. That is what I'm talking about. Oh, it doesn't... Because it drives me nuts. I can't understand and concentrate what they're saying or doing, because I'm watching that happen.
Mm-hmm. And they very much hit it in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, they did a good job.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Like, any time that a character was talking, it was either, you know, the video was of the cat, or it was the back of the head of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they used the audio from one portion and the video from another portion kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is all right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. It definitely gave me almost a mid-90s straight-to-video vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Javis knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Where it didn't feel right. Not even the dub portion of it, just in general, it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm. Milo and Otis.
Yeah! I forgot about Milo and Otis.
Wow. Deep cut.
Right? Wow. Okay. That one was completely gone from my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz there wasn't any narration in that one. That was
no,
just
there
the
wasn't.
It was just the cat and the dog, and they put them in, you know, life-threatening peril for a movie.
Mhm.
Oh, so this must have been before PETA was a thing.
Oh no, PETA was a thing.
Oh yeah.
But
oh.
this movie was made over in Europe.
Oh, so PETA can't touch them.
Can't touch this. <Da-na-na.
laughs> Stop.
Or what's another now I can't think of it.
So apparently in the trivia for Milo and Otis, there were numerous allegations of animal cruelty made against the movie makers when the film was released, including claims from crew members that 20 or so kittens were killed during the filming.
I heard that, yeah.
Even if these aren't true, anyone watching the movie can see that these animals were mistreated.
Or even, like, Benji the Hunt, like, Benji.
Okay, some of those, yeah, some scenes in
those movies, like, Benji the Hunted, where they had the wolf just jump off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
When he's chasing Benji and he's just right off the cliff.
You can definitely tell someone threw him off the cliff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, then there's the, you know, the whole Disney thing with the Disney Wild Adventures or whatever it was way back in the day with the lemmings running off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't know if you ever heard it, like, you know, oh, it's like lemmings running off of a cliff or whatever. That's actually not the case. They were chased off of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
By the filmmakers.
Mm.
They don't actually do that. They don't actually mass suicide. Go figure. They were chased off of the cliff by the filmmakers in order to get their shots that they wanted.
Wow.
That's not a violation of human.
Well, I mean, it was, you know,
cruelty,
it was way back in the day, so this one was before PETA. that one was before PETA.
Is he gonna stop them from fighting it? Absolutely not.
So I think, like, there's, you know, clips of it on YouTube. I don't know if you can actually get the quote unquote documentary.
It's probably on Live League.
Maybe. But so we have a cat's life. Going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what started it.
Right. I am going to stay away from this one very much so.
Yeah, I probably will too. Even though that cat is really cute, but
yeah.
You guys don't even have siblings that will drag you to it though.
No, well,
you'll just have to let us know how it is then.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll be the rat here.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Alrighty, so that is the last movie that we have for this week. Do you guys have anything you want to say about any of the movies that are premiering this week, Godzilla or Cat's Life?
I can't think of anything.
All you listeners out there will know that if I do get drugged to this movie, you will immediately know that I'm going to be irritated by watching the dubbed lip syncs.
Okay, that's fair.
Very nice, very nice. All right. Well, since that is the case, make sure you visit us at Facebook, facebook.com/moviesarething. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething, no spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that, at moviesarething. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/moviesarething. If you want to support the podcast, we do have that over there. Travis.
Yes, sir.
Hayden.
Yes, D.
I do believe that it is about that time.
Here it comes.
Cue the outro! Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing. Be sure to tune in next week for more movies and tangents with us. I am a little out of practice here.
He hasn't done that in
a long time.
Yeah.
Long time coming.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you've been gone for 3 weeks, tends to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, definitely.
Understandable. We're all human. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. And sit there and doing, you know, mic checks, making sure everybody sounds nice, and then don't even think about hitting record before you go. 1 second here. Oh, that was weak sauce. Oh. I can feel it, but okay. I did get to watch. Let me see if I can.
Frantically typing MP3?
Right? No. Controversy.
You know what's hilarious, John? Looking at the notes here, Emma Stone is spelled Emma Store.
No, it's not. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I already screenshotted it, homie.
You have no proof. It was photoshopped.
I don't have edit access, so technically I can't do that.
No, I mean, like, they're... So they're...
Zoe something. Zakota.
Something like that.
Did I just hear you say Cesar Chavez? Or am I tripping?
America Chavez.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Was the name of the character in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes more sense. Really? Then I guess Jake Green gets to get fired today.
Yup.
I'm just not gonna acknowledge it at this point.
I mean,
Sims.
Patch notes.
Movie ends with a Microsoft, like, your computer is shut down and slash rebooting, and it makes the Microsoft sound and the Microsoft sound and everything.
Or the, like, end of the movie is just the blue screen of death.
Yes. Absolutely. Everyone loves the blue screen of death. So, end of the movie says the graphics card going out.
Oh no!
Have you guys ever read any of the patch notes from The Sims?
No,
I've read one of them from the pat for The Sims 4, and I was very intrigued for like a hot second, then I gave up.
So here are some patch notes from The Sims 3. Sims can no longer woohoo in the elevator with a Sim who is on a different floor.
What? That's the best part of the elevators.
Kleptomaniac Sims can no longer steal subway stations from lots.
That's the best part of The Sims 3.
The Grim Reaper will no longer be prevented from reaping souls due to band affiliation.
Oh. I never tested that theory.
Fixed a tuning issue so that the Sims now vomit at acceptable levels.
There's never supposed to think it's an acceptable level.
It is no longer possible to try for baby with the Grim Reaper.
What?
Become enemies with child no longer appears.
What? That was fun to do.
Sims who are on fire will no longer be forced to attend graduation before they can put themselves out.
I love how specific these patch notes are.
A meteor can hit a building, A meteor can hit a building, which case everyone will run out before the collision. Those who do not exit the building will die. Sims automatically leave if a meteor is approaching, unless it is a school in which children are not allowed to leave and will always die.
Oh, jeez.
So, the Sims devs definitely had fun trying to just absolutely decode everything.
Right?
Yeah, no. Actually, no, not even decode, just add more.
The Sims patch notes are just insane.
you actually got to read some Sims 4 patch notes. Yeah. Pretty funny to look at.
Man. No, when all of that went down with the Saints, I was going to college at the time.
Ooh.
And somebody in my class was from Narlands.
Narlands, yep.
And he never let anybody forget that he was from Narlands. And when all of that went down, he came in bragging and boasting and, oh, my team didn't do anything wrong. Saints never did anything wrong. They were just playing the game. You guys just didn't know how to play the game. Oh, I wanted to punch him so bad.
Push him off the roof.
So, so bad. Among other reasons, but.
So.
Have you heard of this? Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure.
The Hollywood Reporter literally said it like 4 times.
Oh, they did? Okay. Anybody ever mistake you for a man?
Game over, man.
Game over.
Travis.
What's up?
Can we show that movie here at the theater? Game Over Man with Adam Devine.
That's on the Big N.
That's on the Big N.
I mean, I'm sure we could. It's a good movie.
It's an amazing movie.
I am
John Noyes. John was shutting down.
A little bit. I was hoping to be pretty close to being done by now, but we went off on a few tangents.
Yeah. We flew off like the what, John?
We're still talking about Furiosa.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Just
yes.
More to talk about?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I mean, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Time, oh, I need to actually stop this. Stop.